The GMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Today's show is brought to you by St. Patrick's Day. Only two more days. Sorry, we started early.
It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday morning. Going to be a chilly day today. If you've got plants outside, you want to make sure you get those covered up. I know the folks at all the nurseries are putting out the heavy blankets right now because the temperatures tonight are going to get really, really chilly out there. So let's see. I'm going to pull up the old Storm Team 2 weather app here and see if we can find out exactly what we're going to be looking at tonight. Tonight's low is going to be freezing for a lot of us. Right now, it feels like it's 23 degrees outside. That's pretty doggone cold. Could get down to around 28 degrees tonight. Freeze warning is in effect for North Charleston. Let's go to Steve in Hanahan. Steve, what'd you think about that huge story last night with Rachel Maddow?
Breaking news.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable. I mean, earth-shattering.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned something earlier, and it reminded me of, who's the guy that got the little vault from the Titanic and opened it in there? You know, the mustache guy.
Yeah, why am I having a... Geraldo Rivera. That was Al Capone's vault.
Yeah.
Al Capone. And remember, that was a whole big... It's an hour-long special. They were going to open up Al Capone's vault.
The buildup was incredible. You know, the Democrats are so desperate. It's bless their hearts. They just don't know what to do next. They can't get nothing on the man. Brian Fallon, who was Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign press secretary, when Rachel announced the news, he said, oh, this is the Holy Grail.
Right. This is it. We have found it.
Yeah. Then after Maddow made the announcement, he said, Dems should return focus to Trump care tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly right. So we went from Holy Grail to Red Solo Cup.
Yeah.
And just that quickly.
But, you know, I hope, you're right, the code says that this providing any information, you don't even have to provide a tax return, is illegal, and publishing it is illegal.
Yeah.
And the First Amendment doesn't give you any diplomatic immunity to that law. But, you know, she was careless, I guess, but no criminal intent. You ever heard that before?
Right, yeah. Right.
But if I was Trump, I would bask in this. I would bask in the release of this because you know what it says? It says, I'm a successful businessman. I pay a whole bunch of taxes, and that's the end of it. And I did some calculation. I like to get off on these things,
right,
and things come to my mind. $38 million. Now, let's see. The SNAP, you know what SNAP is? That's food stamps.
Right, yeah.
A household of two in 2016 received $260 a month of SNAP benefits. Trump just funded 146,153 months of SNAP benefits for that family.
That's right.
So Democrats should be, you know, they should be praising Trump.
They should love him.
I mean, he just funded a whole bunch of social programs that they love.
25% tax rate he paid. Bernie Sanders paid 13.5%.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah,
I mean, they just don't have anything else to grasp at now. I mean, this is absolutely laughable. He ought to bask in it, and I hope he does. I hope he doesn't chase it too far.
Right.
And you know, he needs to make a statement, something like that, and say, "Hey, I paid $38 million. That funds a lot of government programs. You know, so
that's
what?
Right.
You know,
$38 million.
Have a good day.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. $38 million in taxes. $38 million. Unbelievable. Well, he did tweet about it this morning. We'll have that tweet for you coming up next on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 7:21, 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday morning. Going to be a cold one today. Like I said, it's going to be getting down into the 20s tonight. So if you have those plants outside, maybe you've, I'm not a gardener. I don't know what you might have planted right now, but definitely protect it. I know all of the nurseries are taking steps to protect their plants that they have out And Hugh Weathers, the agricultural, the director of agriculture?
Commissioner.
Agricultural commissioner. Great guy, too. I've met him a lot of times. I used to do shows out at Williams-Brice Stadium, right across the street there. That's when the farmer's market was right across from Williams-Brice in Columbia. And Hugh would always come out there and drink coffee with me, and we'd sit down. I really, really like that guy. So he's saying that these specialty crops, so to speak, here in South Carolina are really in a lot of danger because of the cold weather today and going into tonight. They'll know later on today whether or not any damage has been done so far, but certainly tonight is going to be very telling. And I didn't know this, but do you know what they do to the, like down in Florida, do you know what they do to the orange trees when it's going to freeze? You know what they do to them? They turn the sprinklers on. Because, and you're thinking, Charlie, that's insane. Why would you do that? And I say to you, that's a good question, but I have an answer. Because oranges, at 32 degrees, they're fine. If it gets below 32 degrees, then they start being damaged. So they turn the sprinklers on and cover the oranges with water so that the water will freeze, and the frozen water on the oranges actually acts as insulation to keep the oranges from getting colder than 32 degrees. You can use that at the water cooler today while you're out there talking to your smart aleck coworkers. So there you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Did you take a shower this morning? Anybody take a shower this morning? Dermatologist at the University of Toronto named Sandy Skutnicki is working on a book that makes a wild claim. You don't need soap. Yep, that's what she says. She says, quote, if you go to work, dress in a long sleeve shirt and pants, you're in your office all day and you go home, there's no reason for you to use soap. Even if you've been at the gym, you don't necessarily need soap. Water is more than enough to clean off. She says, we're not getting anywhere close to as dirty as we think we are. And modern soaps, she says, are so filled with chemicals that they're doing more damage to our skin than good. They said they're just making us itchy and don't do a particularly good job at getting bacteria off of us. So, should you ever use soap? Yes, she says, if you're actually dirty, but showering with it daily is unnecessary. That's according to her. Now, we don't know a lot about Sandy Skutnicki, but I wonder if her coworkers call her Stinky Skutnicki. Probably so.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:38, 22 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Robert Barra from the Post and Courier. Good morning, Robert. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm great. Thanks.
So we've got some new regulations about carriage horses downtown?
Yes. When the summer heats up, it won't take quite as much heat before the city will require the horses to get off the to get off the roads, to get off the streets.
Now, was this a compromise, or was it just pretty much city council saying this is the way it's going to be?
No, this was very much a compromise that was worked out with a group of carriage companies and veterinarians, as well as the Charleston Animal Society. But the way you know it's the compromise is that nobody's really happy with it. Nobody's telling
right.
The carriage companies think it's too much. But on the other hand, there are residents out there and the Animal Society out there that doesn't think this goes far enough as far as protecting the horse's welfare.
Now, one of the things that I thought was unusual is where they actually measure the temperature. They do it at pretty much the rooftop downtown.
It's the weather bug, exactly. They measure it a couple of stories off the ground, and that's been a big point of contention. Mm-hmm. Is that the proper place to measure it? Because, in fact, many believe that the actual real temperature on the asphalt where the horses are is a good bit higher.
Wow.
So, but That actually, that thermometer was chosen because it's running constantly. It's online. Its data is online. It's independently verifiable. So, but one of the reasons I think they did actually, there was a push to lower the temperature, is because of that concern about whether that location is really the temperature that the horses are feeling.
Where's it located?
It's actually a hotel, I believe, right near the carriage stand where all the tours queue up.
All right. Sounds good. And Mount Pleasant, originally, what, they had a six-month moratorium on apartments, and now they're going to extend that to 2 years?
Yeah, this was a real surprise. Last night, they were expected to take a vote on a six-month moratorium. That's what they had given initial approval to last month, and that's what sort of everyone was expecting. But out of nowhere, one councilman said, you know, 6 months, that's really not much time at all. If we're really trying to get our act together, let's make it 2 years. And, that's what passed. So it will be very interesting to see if the town sees any or hears any pushback from the development community about that, because the development community has been kind of quiet as the six-month moratorium has proceeded.
Right. Now, you know, they're always talking about affordable housing in Mount Pleasant. How does this address the affordable housing issue?
Well, it's not really meant to address that at all. It's meant to address the other concerns that development brings over there, particularly traffic, but also the impact on schools and recreation and other you know, town services and things. So that's what's motivating this. Now, if anything, this will be sort of a step back potentially,
right,
as far as working on the affordability piece.
Absolutely. I found it funny that North Charleston County and their city council are telling people to kind of dial back the crazy.
Well, actually, this is the Charleston County Council.
Is it County Council? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's something that they're expected to discuss at the next finance committee. But the chairman has already floated this idea of exactly no profanity, no vulgarity or personal attacks or threatening language. So I guess some county council meetings have turned a little interesting lately, and it's an attempt to address that. We'll see actually what happens. I think there's some skepticism on there. I think some county council members are already uncomfortable with the idea of outlawing quote-unquote personal attacks, because our chairman potentially could construe that as any comment that's critical of the council member.
Right. I didn't like that you voted for this. Well, that's a personal attack.
Exactly. You've got to sit down.
Yeah. All right. What's going on Berkeley County school systems? I mean, the superintendent stepped down the other night. Do we know why?
A lot of personnel changes. Now, they have not really said publicly much about what's going on, the dissatisfaction. I mean, there's a lot that's going on in the rumor mill, but you know, because of the sensitive personnel nature of it, the school board's been kind of quiet. But clearly, there seems to be a link between the school superintendent's departure and the firing just a month ago of the district's chief financial officer and the embezzlement there. I mean, now a lot of that happened before she even arrived in her post, but a little bit of it continued.
I'm just wondering if she got there and said, "Yeah, I'm not dealing with this."
Well, I think also what's important to note here is the big political change that occurred on the school board in the last November election. I mean, this is just a different board than the board that hired her. And in fact, the board that hired her sort of ran through its evaluation of her before they left office, sort of expedited it and got it sort of out of the way and sort of hopes to sort of concrete your position a little bit. But I think the new board is a very different-minded group of members, and I think they wanted their own person. They felt they found cause, and I think there was pressure, and I think that's where we are.
Any more information on the embezzling in Berkeley County?
All we know is there are no charges that have been brought, but Brantley Thomas, the financial officer, is apparently cooperating with authorities. So we'll see in the coming months exactly how that goes. The district is doing a more in-depth forensic audit to see if, in fact, the amount stolen is more than the $383,000 or so that's currently known.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, Robert, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Robert Barra with the Post and Courier. Could you imagine embezzling $300,000+ from your company and not having charges filed? I can't.
WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 10 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Just posted on Facebook after over 3 years of my beloved reading glasses. They broke moments ago. Only moments ago, ladies. Look at this, John. There's supposed to be one thing here. There are two things. There is the temple piece and the rest of the glasses. So,
what are you at, about $5?
No, these were expensive. No! These were, I don't know where they were. I got them at Publix.
Oh.
I think they were Foster Grants, though. I think they were about $20. So
okay.
I have to go get me some new ones. Hopefully they'll last another 3+ years. So good thing I had a spare this morning. But everything, it's so funny. The reading glasses that I have right now, I can see things that are 12 feet away from me crystal clear. Something that's 2.5 feet away from me is a little bit fuzzy. So, all right. I'm dealing with that this morning. You don't know the trials and tribulations that a talk show host has to go through each and every morning just to bring you the information that you need. Like this leaked audio of Paul Ryan saying that he would not defend Donald Trump.
I am not going to defend Donald Trump. Not now, not in the future. As you probably heard, I just invited him from my first congressional district GOP event this weekend, a thing I do every year. And I'm not going to be campaigning with him over the next 30 days.
Well, I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to take Paul Ryan at his word that he is not going to, now or in the future, defend Donald Trump, nor work with Donald Trump. Nor work with the average right-thinking people of this country when everybody out there is screaming about this Ryan Care, this bill to replace the Affordable Care Act. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think it's I do not. You know, they did the Congressional Budget Office. They did that study. And they showed that, 14 million people would no longer be covered by health care if you repealed or if you brought in the Republican plan. What they failed to say with that was that more than likely 14 million people would just opt not to get the health insurance. It's not that they would be stripped from the rolls. It's not that they would be, you know, disqualified from having it. They would just choose not to get it. So also, another thing I don't like, I'll continue on this thought. So that 14 million people, the budget office also said that if you just repealed Obamacare, if you just repealed the Affordable Care Act, didn't replace it with anything, fewer people would be uncovered by health insurance. So that's kind of interesting. I got to delve into that a little bit more to find out exactly what they were talking about. But I don't like this new bill, mainly because if you have a lapse, one of the things is it raises premiums for the first couple of years and then they start dropping off. If you are one of the older members of our society, then your premiums are going to go up. And if you have a lapse in insurance, let's just say, I don't know, you lose your job or something like that, and you lose your insurance, you don't pick up the COBRA because it's god-awful expensive, and you go without insurance for a little while, and you have a pre-existing condition, you're going to have to pay basically a 30% penalty on your premiums for, I think, the first year or something like that. So a lot of things about this plan that I do not like, but we'll find out. Now, we're also hearing this morning that James Comey, FBI director, is going to be issuing a statement regarding President Trump, the Trump campaign, and the Russians. So far, we have heard no evidence, zero, zilch, nada, not one drop of evidence that anybody from the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russians to sway the election. No evidence whatsoever. There were some reporters from South Carolina that were saying that that Lindsey Graham was kind of giving them a message yesterday. They didn't go into any detail, but that Lindsey Graham was alluding to a few things last night about this statement from Comey today. So we'll find out what he has to say. Now, remember, this is the same guy, James Comey, that basically got up in front of the American people and said Hillary Clinton violated the law, but we're not going to prosecute her. Did she know that there were secret or top secret emails on her server? Yes, she did. Were there emails on her server that she didn't report to the FBI and to Trey Gowdy at the hearings? Yes, there were. Basically, did she lie to Congress? Yes, she did that. All of this, and now we're going to find out just how the FBI has been investigating. Man, wouldn't it have been great if the FBI, the media, Rachel Maddow, had spent as much time, energy, and effort investigating the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's email server as they have Donald Trump and his possible connections to the Russians? Wouldn't you have liked to see that energy spent with somebody who actually committed a crime and somebody who didn't? They hacked into our that's what they wanted to keep saying to you. They hacked into our elections. They hacked into it. I don't think so. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Don't forget, coming up today, we are going to be giving away tickets to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire in concert. That is going to be a fantastic program. We got those tickets coming up for you in just a little bit. But have you filled out your brackets yet? Got a message here from the boss about March Madness.
Good morning, employees. Upon hearing the news, the U.S. loses $2 billion in productivity during the NCAA basketball tournament, I remind you to keep your mind on our productivity and not be bothered by games during work hours. Thank you. Have a great day. Oh, and if someone could come to my office and show me how to get the games on my iPhone, sooner rather than later on that, if possible. Thank you.
Doggone, what is that guy up to? I have no idea. So, I mean, how are your brackets looking today? I don't even know. The bracket officially starts today, right? Or tomorrow. I think it officially, everything starts tomorrow. You get down to your bracket. So, again, I will complete disclosure here. I know nothing about basketball. I know absolutely nothing. I know there are teams there called Gonzaga, who I've never heard of. I know there are teams there that that you have never heard of that will probably make it to the Sweet 16. I know Duke is a big basketball team, but other than that, I am completely lost when it comes to basketball. So I may be one of those persons that fills out a perfect bracket because I know nothing. Just go, you know, they said it's like a trillion to one odds that you fill out a perfect bracket. A trillion to one. Yeah. That's all right. So I know every year everybody gets all upset. Well, there goes my bracket. That's what you hear throughout the office today. Well, there goes my bracket. I'm done. I'm out. Might as well get some work done around here. Be productive, unlike you people.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
What I have here is a copy of Donald Trump's tax returns. We have his federal tax return for 1 year, for 2005. I believe this is the only set of the president's federal taxes that reporters have ever gotten a hold of. What we have are these two pages, front and back, from the same 1040 form that you might have filled out when you file your taxes. And in terms of what's on here, let me give you the basics. Aside from the numbers being large, these pages are straightforward. He paid $38 million in taxes. He took a big write-down of $103 million. More on that later. If you add up the lines for income, he made more than $150 million in that year. Mazel tov.
So, yeah, John just asked a good question. Is his Social Security number on that form? That would be interesting. And that's why it's illegal, really, for her to be reporting that last night. It's, yes, that's right. It is illegal for what Rachel Maddow did. Here's the law, federal law. It shall be unlawful for any person to whom any return or return information is disclosed in a manner unauthorized by this title thereafter willfully to print or publish in any manner not provided by law any such return or return information. Any violation of this paragraph shall be a felony punishable by a fine in any amount exceeding $5,000 or imprisonment of not more than 5 years or both together with the cost of prosecution. So, yeah. So what did Donald Trump have to say about it this morning? Let's see. He goes down about an hour ago, it looks like. He tweeted, does anybody really believe that a reporter who nobody ever heard of, quote unquote, went to his mailbox and found my tax returns? NBC fake news. So what they're saying is that this reporter just went to the mail one day.
Let me see what's in the mail today. Oh, look, I got a Nordstrom catalog. Let's see, I got a bill. And, Donald Trump's tax returns. Why, look at that. How did that happen?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, right? Just went to the mailbox, reporter that nobody ever heard of, instead of sending it to Rachel Maddow, instead of sending it to Wolf Blitzer, instead of sending it to whomever, they send it to this reporter, and we're supposed to buy that. Right? Yeah, you and me? Yeah, we're gullible like that, aren't we? Well, it took her forever last night to get to the point. She started this show. It was late last night. Well, I guess it was about, I don't know, I saw it about 7 o'clock, I guess, that Rachel Maddow had a copy of Donald Trump's tax returns, and she was going to release them on her show on MSNBC. So it took her forever to get to the point last night. In fact, here's what some people say. Kate Bennett said, Chip and Joanna will literally be done renovating this house by the time she stops talking. Another person said, if you have news, Rachel, please tell us soon. I'm not young. Let's see. Oliver Knox said, at this rate, not sure Maddow will be releasing any Trump tax return information tonight. Brian said, breaking on Maddow, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Josh said, Trump will have filed another tax return before this A block ends. Caitlin Collins says, pours a glass of cyanide while waiting this thing out. Olivia said, be right back. Going to watch the Titanic real quick while Maddow admires the sound of her own voice. Matt Dornig said, I'd like a refund for that 25 minutes of my life that she took to get to the point of this tax return, which was Donald Trump made $150 million in 2005 and paid $38 million in taxes, which is a 25% tax rate. So now remember what she said in her own statement. Pretty straightforward. Now, there was some talk last night. I haven't even seen the tax returns, but there was some talk last night about Donald Trump selling a home. I think he bought it for like, I don't know, I'll just throw some numbers out here, $50 million and sold it to a Russian for $100 million, right? That was back in 2005. So was this a big secret? No. He admitted it on David Letterman. I'm going to play you that audio. I played it for you a couple of days ago. He admitted on David Letterman that he had sold a home to a Russian. So you telling me, Rachel Maddow, that the Russians knew back in 2005 that Donald Trump, they're always trying to tie this back to the Russians. Unbelievable.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:23 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right. These documents that show back in 2005, President Donald Trump earned $153 million and paid $36.5 million in income taxes. Journalist David K. Johnson, who obtained these filings, this 1040 form, says one thing the leaked documents don't show is how much money the president may have received from the Russians.
He has a more than 30-year connections to the Russian oligarchs. And notice, Trump always says, I have nothing to do with Russia. He never says Russians. And the oligarchs are a state-sponsored network of international criminals that Donald has repeatedly done business with.
All right, so obviously this journalist, David K. Johnson, has an axe to grind with the president. Because it was so funny. So you've been screaming for the tax returns, right? Everybody wants these tax returns. We want the Trump tax returns. We want the tax returns. So the tax returns are leaked, and then they're complaining about what they don't show. What they don't show is yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. So it's just, these people are unbelievable to me. When they finally, through whatever source that they're able to get this information from, once they get it, they make a big deal out of it, and then it's not enough for them. It's not quite enough for the left when they get what they want. The criny crybabies over there are just absolutely amazing to me. Really. It showed nothing. It showed absolutely nothing. So, congratulations. Not a darn thing. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I am looking for, because I played this clip the other day about Donald Trump on David Letterman throughout the years. And in one of these clips, and I'm going to find it for you here in just a second. In one of these clips, Donald Trump admits that he sold a home to a Russian guy. Let's go to Richard in North Charleston. Richard, how are you?
All right. How you doing, Charlie?
Good. What's up?
I had to call EMS this morning. My side was hurting so much laughing.
Isn't it great?
On these big tax returns.
Yeah. Well, that was something, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I was listening to Mika looking at her face.
Yeah.
And the only thing Mika had to say was, well, we could tell he wasn't very charitable. And I'm trying to figure out how you can figure that out.
How can you figure that out?
Yeah. That's what she said. He's not very charitable. And, Charlie, I got to tell you one more thing. You know that show that comes on right before you come on?
Yeah.
About 5:30?
Right, yeah.
Were you listening?
No, I did not. I was busy working. What's up? What
okay,
is that?
Now, you know about the military women that with these naked pictures?
Right, yeah.
Malcolm called into the show and blamed it all on Donald Trump.
I'm sorry. What?
Malcolm called into that show and blamed all that on Donald Trump.
Malcolm?
He said because Donald Trump went around touching women's private parts.
Right.
That gave the military the excuse to send out pictures like that.
Wow.
And carry on like that.
That is amazing. I got to get a clip of that call. So he called into First Light and said that Donald Trump was to blame for this thing.
Was to blame.
Oh, my word.
He said, no, I don't agree with you, Malcolm.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, it's all Donald Trump.
It's all Trump. That's Richard, man. Thank you very much. I see why your side is splitting this morning from laughter. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Paul is out in Somerville. Paul, how are you?
Top of the morning to you.
Yes, sir.
We have a new category of news here. We have fake news, and now we have not news.
Right.
Okay. This whole thing. Now, I did not watch it because I cannot and the raspy sound of her voice anyhow.
Right.
I'd rather roll in my own vomit. But, like, here's my equivalent yesterday of this whole thing. I got up, I fed my children, got them to school, kissed my wife, walked the dogs, did my job, ate three good meals, went to the bathroom solidly once, and then I went to bed. Okay? That is the equivalent of this whole... Okay, she just basically said, wow, he made a lot of money, and he paid a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding. Wait, what is the point of all this?
There is no point. There is absolutely no, and that's why she was tap dancing all last night. That's why it took her all that time to get to the point, because she had absolutely nothing to say when it was all said and done. Not a word.
This is like the finale of America's Got Talent, where they got to drag it out to an hour, and it could have taken
right.
maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, she won. Okay, everyone else lost.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. So I'm glad you're getting a chuckle out of it too, Paul, because it is absolutely hilarious. I have found that montage of Donald Trump on David Letterman. Now, we're going to go through this, but listen for this one part.
We are living in very precarious times. If you look at what certain countries are doing to this country, such as Japan, I mean, they've totally taken advantage of the country.
Without embarrassing yourself, can you give me an idea of something nice you've done for somebody recently?
Well, I married Marla, and now I'm giving her a big settlement. I sold a house for $100 million.
Oh, two-bedroom?
2 weeks ago.
Even worse. I think it's a teardown. You know, I think it's a teardown.
It's a teardown.
To a very nice Russian.
Now you, hey, there it was. He sold a house for $100 million. Now, how is he trying to hide any of this? How is he trying to hide any of this? Let's go to Eli in Mount Pleasant. Eli, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So Denzel Washington came out with a great quote a couple of months ago. He says, if you don't look at the news, you're ill-informed. And if you do look at the news, you're misinformed.
That's right, yeah.
I thought that was a great quote.
It is a great quote. And it is he's absolutely right about that. If you watched that thing last night with Rachel Maddow, you were totally misinformed. Real quick, Sean is on John's Island. Sean, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Charlie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
I think you coined a new phrase this morning. I rather enjoyed it, and I you should use that more often.
What's that?
A criny Y baby.
Yeah, the criny Y baby.
I like that, man.
Sean, I appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Very cold on the East Coast right now. Thanks to Winter Storm Stella, thousands of flights are canceled. There are blizzard warnings. School closing. Mittens are being pinned to jackets. Juice is turning into popsicles on its own. It's crazy. And I want you to make no mistake. You turn on the Weather Channel to try to find out what's going on. You see the meteorologist giving advice, telling you to be careful. Make no mistake. Those people are not on your side. Those people are rooting against us and for the weather. They're rooting for the snow.
There you go. That's Jimmy Kimmel last night on this snowstorm that pelted the Northeast and continues to do so. Right now I'm looking at the Charleston International Airport, and it looks like all of our flights so far today are on time. Now, yesterday, there is one United about 11 o'clock this morning headed to Newark, New Jersey, that is going to be delayed a little bit. A United flight 4874 is going to be delayed a little bit, probably about a half an hour. So also a flight to Washington has been delayed just slightly this morning. So it was scheduled departure time. This flight to Washington scheduled to depart at 7 o'clock this morning. And now it's looking like it's going to be a little after 9 o'clock, another half hour, as they make sure that those runways up in the Northeast are clear for a safe landing. So, I mean, we knew that a lot of flights were canceled yesterday because of this snowstorm. It wasn't as bad as everybody thought it was going to be, thank goodness. They were expecting like 24 inches in New York City. I think they got 5 or 6, something like that. And so that's definitely good news. So, what are we going to expect here tonight? Because it is just going to be bone-chillingly cold. This will be the first night below freezing since January the 10th. That's how long it's been since we've gone down below freezing. So right now we've got, what's our temperature right now? 36 right now at the airport. I'm going to be getting down to about 28 tonight in some places. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be very, very cold. Warming up later on in the week, though. It's going to be Saturday, looks like 71 for a high. A little bit chillier on Sunday. And then in the, it looks like a Tuesday will be 71. So kind of a little bit warmer than normal for this time of year. Now, the average high temperature for for this day is 69 degrees. 69 degrees. The average low temperature, 45. The record high was set back in 1967 with a high of 87, and the record low back in 1993 of 25. So we'll be getting a little bit. Some places might actually flirt with that a little bit tonight. I'll probably get down about 28. All right, let's go to Jimmy west of the Ashley. By the way, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Let's go to Jimmy west of the Ashley. Jimmy, how are you? Jimmy, are you there? I got nothing right there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We are expecting a comment this morning from James Comey and the FBI about whether or not a criminal investigation is going to be going on between looking into the ties between the Trump campaign and the Russians. So far, we've seen no evidence whatsoever. Nothing. So we'll find out this morning whether or not James Comey says that the FBI is looking into this. Lindsey Graham says he wants to put it to bed as quickly as possible. He just appeared just a few minutes ago on CNN. He said he wants to put this thing to bed as soon as he possibly can because, of course, we know, what was it, last weekend, Donald Trump said that that Obama had wiretapped Trump Tower. And but again, wiretapping these days means something completely different than what it did back during the Nixon administration. I mean, you can monitor people in a lot of ways, so... So there you go. We'll see what Comey has to say today. This is the same guy that basically told us that Hillary Clinton violated the law with her private server, but yet we're not going to prosecute. We're not going to prosecute. And all of that came because, you know, Loretta Lynch met with Bill Clinton on that tarmac in Pennsylvania, where the media, by the way, was told not to record any of that because they knew what would happen. And... you know, they only talked about their grandchildren while they were on that plane in Pennsylvania. That's all they talked about. And then after that came out, Loretta Lynch said, listen, I'm just going to... She didn't recuse herself. Remember, she did not recuse herself like they're asking Jeff Sessions to do with this investigation. She didn't recuse herself. She just said that she was going to go along with whatever the FBI recommended. And then the FBI came out and they recommended that no prosecution happened. So Loretta Lynn said, well, there you go. I'm going to go along with what they say. You don't think the fix was in on that thing? Let's go to Robert, Johns Island. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Yeah, good. What's up?
I just want to talk about the wiretapping thing.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I heard a report that Obama went outside the chain of command and went to a wiretapping, so went to a spy agency from the British, GCHQ is called.
Yeah.
And they supposedly they're the ones that did it, and there's no fingerprints of American, you know, to the NSA or the FBI or the CIA or even the Justice Department, you know, that they did, that it was reported that they didn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama spent millions of dollars, I don't know how many, probably a lot on, you know, a lot of taxpayers' money to do that.
Well, it's certainly a possibility, Robert. I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, Judge Napolitano said on Fox News that he believes, and that, let me get to you exactly what he said. He said that Obama went outside the chain of command and used British spy agency to spy on Trump. So that's what he says. He was on Fox and Friends, and he said that even if the Obama administration didn't spy on Trump, or if they did spy on Trump, there may never be a way to prove that they did if they went outside of the chain of command. Well, I would think there might be a great way to prove that. That is, if somebody leaked any of this correspondence between the British and their spy agency and the Obama administration. So with all the leaks coming out of Washington, D.C. these days, I don't see where that's outside the realm of possibility.
Now, The TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
We've got some significant breaking news tonight. Again, tonight we are breaking news. Donald Trump's tax returns. Now it's time for the last word with Lawrence O'Donnell. Good evening, Lawrence.
Rachel, this is not breaking news.
I'll be there in a second.
You've got more to say. I know it.
Breaking news.
Shut up.
Okay.
Thank you, Rachel. We're going to continue our breaking news coverage.
Breaking news?
This is not breaking news.
No, it wasn't breaking. It was not breaking news at all. Last night with Rachel Maddow. Rachel Madcow. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Tell you what I'm going to do. I've got a pair of tickets to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire in concert. Yep, it is going to be a fantastic show, and you do not want to miss out on this. 556-1250 is the number to call in. I'm going to take caller number 5 this morning. That is caller number 5 at 556-1250. You will pick up a pair of tickets to Earth, Wind, and Fire coming to the North Charleston Performing Arts Center on April the 2nd. You don't want to miss out. This is a fantastic show. Let's go to the phones right now and say good morning. Who is this?
Hello?
Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Martha.
Martha, how are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks.
I'm glad to hear that. Martha, you just picked yourself up a pair of tickets to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
You like that? Good, good, good. Have you ever seen them before?
A long, long time ago, back in the 70s, I believe.
They are just as good these days. Martha, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Congratulations. Going to put you on hold. And John Quincy is going to get your information from you. Looks like there are going to be some new restrictions as far as the carriage tour business in downtown. Yesterday, Charleston City Council said that they are going to keep the horses off the streets when the temperature rises above 95 degrees. Now, that's three degrees lower than the previous limit. So it was up to 98 degrees. The heat index limit was also reduced from 125 to 110. Wow. 110. Do you remember? It seems like we forget from last summer to now just how hot it gets here in the low country. 110 degrees as far as the heat index is concerned. The temperature will now be verified with four different readings taken 15 minutes apart rather than two readings. So there was a special committee meeting, a committee of industry stakeholders and animal welfare advocates. They agreed on these changes. Now, last year, after they refuted a veterinarian's report that analyzed more than 20,000 thermometer readings over the past 4 years. But yesterday, neither one, the carriage industry or the animal rights folks or anybody else, really seemed too enthusiastic about it because basically it was a compromise. So several animal welfare advocates said a scientific peer-reviewed study about the condition of the carriage horses on hot days should guide the regulations. At very least, they said one thermometer reading instead of two or more should determine when the horses are taken off the streets. Well, I don't see why not. I mean, the more thermometers you have, the better reading you get, right? I would imagine that. So, more stuff going on with the carriage industry, which, by the way, I think Palmetto Carriage Tours has named a horse after me out there. Yep, you can go. That's right. Charlie James, the horse, can give you a tour around Charleston. I love that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Like we said, it is going to be chilly tonight. Make sure that your plants are protected out there. Several of these nursery managers have broke out the heavy frost blankets for some of their plants that they have available. Make sure they aren't damaged. But it's going to be very, very, very cold tonight. Down around 28. It'll be the first night we've gone down below freezing since January the 10th. Have you heard about this guy? I am finding this pretty incredible. Greg Morris, 45-year-old man, is trying out for the Clemson Tigers football team. 45 years old. So apparently he's trying to be a walk-on. He stuck around after practice the other day, and he talked with head coach Dabo Sweeney, And a lot of those folks out there were punters and kickers, but Morris was on the defense, though he was moving a little bit slower than most of the other Tiger hopefuls, you know, 18 to 22 years old. Morris, 45 years old. I hope he makes it. I would love to see it. I don't, you know, I know, but I would still love to see it. I would still love to see Mr. Morris get out there and make the team. I think that would be fantastic to watch a 45-year-old guy make the national champion Clemson Tiger football team. That would just bring a big old smile to my face. I really would love that. All right. Another thing that's going on here in the Lowcountry, Michael Slager is looking for a public defender in his upcoming retrial. Andy Savage is saying that it's pretty obvious that the jury in the last trial, you know, remember it ended in a mistrial because of a hung jury. They could not come to a unanimous decision. And I found that quite interesting because they had three options, basically. Guilty of murder, guilty or manslaughter, or not guilty. And they could not come up with a unanimous verdict. Savage is saying that the choice was not for murder, but the choice was for manslaughter or acquittal in this case. And he said that the judge actually interviewed a bunch of the jurors in this case, and that's pretty much what they said. They said, it's now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know why Andy Savage would lie about it. I don't know what information he has, though. But it'll be interesting to see if he does get a public defender in this case, because, you know, Slager's saying he's broke. And you can certainly imagine how much a defense trial, especially somebody like Andy Savage and his team, I mean, they are high power attorneys and they can cost a lot of money. So we'll see what happens with that. I think he'll probably get a public defender. I'm just going to say that just to make sure that we don't have another mistrial in this case. I'm pretty sure he'll get a public defender.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.